22, verses 14 through 20. This is the reading of God's Word. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup, which is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood, is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear your loving voice through your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us. We pray by your grace, your word will be preached correctly. And all of us will not only hear your word, but believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our God is speaking to us many, many things through this passage. And I believe we need at least 6 weeks, six times to look at all of them. Our Lord Jesus Christ institutes the Lord's Supper in our passage. The public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, which began as he was baptized, ends with him instituting the Lord's Supper. Now, there are many ways to say what our Lord Jesus is accomplishing. He ends the old and begins the new. He ends this world and begins heaven. He ends the old covenant and begins the new covenant. In our passage, even as he fulfills the law by obeying the law concerning the Passover, our Lord ends the Old Testament Passover and he institutes the Lord's Supper as the sacrament of the New Testament. Now, what is the meaning of all this? Well, we're going to look at all that for the next 5 to 6 weeks. So we begin from verse 14 to 18. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostle with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. It says, when the hour had come. In John chapter 13, we read Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. That time has come. Verse 15, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer, he says, meaning before him dying on the cross. I have earnestly desired to eat this supper or eat this Passover with you. Literally, he says, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. You could see it was Jesus' earnest desire to have a close fellowship with his disciples. This was the last Passover in this world for Jesus and his disciples. Not just because Jesus will die that it was the last Passover, but Jesus is ending the Old Testament Passover. Now for the people who are in Christ, the new eternal Passover of heaven is given. No more earthly Passover. We could read the mind of Jesus Christ at this time through John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loves his disciples. And he loves you. With desire, he said, I have desired. Like we said before, our Lord wanted to have a close fellowship with his disciples. And this is what happens when people love one another. They would like to meet. And sometimes I get so discouraged because people in this church, it doesn't seem like they want to meet. And even just in a few opportunities we make, like a fellowship monthly, people just don't come. But this is Jesus. Loving his disciples to the end, and he wanted to have that fellowship. Jesus truly loves his people. And he had a lot to say to his disciples. And we will hear what Jesus says to them from verse 21. And if we go to John chapter 13 through 17, then we will read more about what Jesus says to his disciples. But I want you to notice that Jesus also wanted us to hear those words. So he had written them in the Bible. Because he also loves us. Now, in our passage, our Lord is eating the Passover with his disciples. Verse 14 says, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Verse 14 clearly shows us that Jesus is witnessing the beginning of the new era. Now, in the Old Testament, if you see how the Passover was eaten together, it was eaten together by the family. You know that. It was at their each house, family meeting together to eat the Passover. So, can you see that here in our passage that Jesus witnesses the reality of the formation of the new family, the family of heaven? Jesus had his earthly family. Disciples, some of them had their earthly family, but look at here. They're not gathering with their earthly family, but they're gathering as a new family. The eternal family. And of course, there were one who does not belong there. Just like in the church, there are fake ones. But what are we looking at? If we truly believe and appreciate what Christ has done for us, then we must appreciate Him forming a new family of heaven. Because that family is going to be forever family in heaven, not earthly family. And Bible never says to ignore earthly family. No, you take care of them. But what is forever family is not the earthly family, but heavenly family. So here Jesus witnesses the reality of the formation of new family, the family of heaven. Luke chapter 8 verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So I want you to see right away from our passage the formation of the eternal family in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Or is it just something good to say that we are family? Or are we truly the forever family? Are we living by faith? Or all the things we say we live, when it comes to our actual life, it just doesn't matter. It's all about just saying good things. Let us truly, truly care for one another. You know, some of us are getting married very soon. And when you have a family member getting married, what do? And I hear so many people, you would not believe how many people cannot make it to that wedding, even though we're family. This kind of thing discourages this pastor so much. You're not showing up to our family events, church events. I pray to God that when you hear God's word being preached, when you hear these things, that it will move you, it will affect you, that you would want to obey. Or it's just God's word being preached and nobody cares. Because I have more important thing to do. Jesus died for us. He didn't have any more important thing than us. brothers and sisters, don't blame others. You know, I hear time to time, oh, we don't meet, we don't do things together. Well, then do it. All I'm saying is, if you truly believe that we are family, things will be different. Who of you will not attend your family member's wedding? Unless, like, there's so serious thing going on, you just cannot make it. You will even change your plans to attend if it's your family. It's okay. You could hate me. You know, even Paul says, what, do I become your enemy by telling you the truth? I'm not asking you to let's all live together, but there are minimum things we need to do because we're family. Unless what God is teaching is not true. And I'm not saying to any specific people. I don't do that. I'm saying it to all of us, including me. Let us truly care and love one another. Unless we're not family. I really desire that I matter to you because I'm your family. And that you matter to me because you're my family. Now, they're reclining at the table. And this is also amazing. You know, reclining at the table, that was the custom at the time during the banquet. John chapter 13, verse 23, there was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, what we are surprised about this is that it is so different from what we see from the first Passover in the Old Testament. Do you remember the Passover that we read about in Exodus 12? Verse 11 says, Exodus 12, 11, now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The loins girded, sandals on their feet, and staff in their hand, and they are to eat it in haste. Why? Because God's judgment is about to be poured out in Egypt. And the Israelites are being saved from that judgment. They are to get out of Egypt. Because Egypt is no longer their homes. This is how they ate Passover in Exodus 12. But we see completely different thing in Luke chapter 22. See, Egypt was not their home. They had to get out. Just like it, this world is not our home and we need to get out. This is the reality of our mindset as we live our lives in this world. We have no lingering attachment to this world. What holds you if it is time for you to go out? What will keep you here? Well, whatever that might be, you love that much more than Jesus Christ. Seriously, if you love somebody, you will want to go to that person and be face to face with that person. Think about it. You got married, but somehow in the beginning you had to be apart. I don't know why, but somehow. And you want your husband to come to you because you are now married, you're loving one another, but that husband says, no, I'm not going yet. There's some things I gotta do here, some things, some whatever, I can't go right now. How would you feel if that's what your husband says or your wife says to you? But isn't that what you're saying to Jesus? I can't go right now, even though it's time that you have appointed, but I don't want to go now. Do you really love Jesus? And I'm not saying let's all kill ourselves. No, I say when that appointed time comes, you're ready to go. You'll be glad to go. Because Jesus is whom you love. I want you guys to really sit down. You guys are sitting down. And think about these things. Whenever you open your mouth to say these kind of stuff, when you say, I love you, Jesus, or I believe this, or I believe that. What are you really saying? Or you don't mean anything you say. Is Christianity all fake? And it is you and I show the world that it is fake by what we do and what we say. If that's the case, I don't think we're living a Christian life then. We show them it's fake. Please, your parents, show your children what Christianity is truly about. When it comes to Lord's Day, don't take them out and buy things. Show them that this is a holy day and we have to do this way. You show them that what we say and what we believe is not fake. But it's God's word. And there are times that you must disobey. Well, then show your kids or your wife or your husband that you are repenting. That I did something wrong, and I shouldn't have done it. Let's witness our religion, Christianity, as something that is true. Because it is true. Brothers and sisters, these Israelites, even when they were out of Egypt, they look back. They look back. And they were saying things like, oh, it was better when we were at Egypt. We're at least sit down and eat meat and, you know, good food. We want to go back. And when you read their stories, you say to yourself, man, what are these people? But we do the same. We look back to the world. We say, oh, I want to do this. My friends are going somewhere. I can't even go because it's Lord's Day. Do you actually desire to be in their place? Show them. Show them. No, I don't want to do it. It's not like I cannot go. I don't want to because it's Lord's Day. Because I want to have fellowship with my God. I want to worship Him. Do you remember Luke chapter 17, verse 31? On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, one who is in the field must not turn back. Do not turn back. But the Israelites were looking back toward Egypt, even as they are headed to the promised land. Brothers and sisters, this is the fact that we cannot go back to the world. And it's not we cannot, just we cannot, but we don't want to go back to the world. I say, have some heavenly pride. Why would you want to show the world that, you know, you secretly love this world way more than what we confess with our mouth, what we believe? We gotta take this thing very seriously, brothers and sisters. Because this is the truth. And no matter how much I have to lose out, no matter how much I have to be lonely, no matter how much I just cannot get the things that I myself want, we want to tell the whole world that this is the truth. Brothers and sisters, you must believe you have come out of this world already. And you need to show that you have come out already. Now we see Jesus and his disciples eating the Passover, reclined at the table. The reality of our heaven is being witnessed. This is the heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for His people. God and His people are eating and drinking together. God and His people are having that sweet fellowship, the eternal fellowship with one another. And the disciples who represent us, we are also reclining at the table. We see disciples also reclining at the table. Meaning that disciples, they are no longer slaves. Even when those disciples are with God, God does not treat them as slaves. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Which of you, having a slave plowing and tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down, recline to eat? Who would say that to a slave? No. We are now God's sons. And as you see disciples reclining with God, what are you looking at? God accepts them as His sons. So they're all reclining and eating and drinking together. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. See, our Lord Jesus Christ, as eating the Passover with His disciples, witnesses the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven in which we are sitting with our God and eating, drinking together, having that sweet fellowship together. Luke chapter 22, verse 30a, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. The reality of the heavenly banquet is being witnessed in our passage. Now, what kind of banquet is the heavenly banquet? Well, Revelation 19:9 says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. According to this verse, what we are seeing is the reality of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I want you to listen to this. Marriage at the time of Jesus. How people get married at that time. Let me explain. First, there was what we would call engagement. A betrothal. Now, engagement, it was not like the engagement of today. Back then, it was much more serious and permanent. Only death could break off the engagement. Once you are engaged, then you are practically a husband and wife. But after the engagement, the bridegroom and the bride are separated for a little while. During this time, the bridegroom will go and prepare the house and all the things that they need as a married couple. And when all are prepared, the bridegroom will go and bring the bride home. And during this time, the bride will live her life waiting for the bridegroom to come and take her to their house. And this was what was happening to Joseph and Mary when we see them in Matthew chapter 1. They were engaged. And Joseph was preparing a house and all that they need. And Mary was waiting for Joseph to come and get her. But as she was waiting, now she's with Jesus. She was pregnant. The bridegroom then comes to take the bride to the house that he prepared for them. Once both of them arrive at that home, there will be a wedding and the wedding banquet, the marriage supper. And we must understand verses 16 and 18 in these terms. Verse 16, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. See, brothers and sisters, you and I are already engaged to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, went to heaven to prepare a place for us. That is what we read. That is what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what we are doing at this time is waiting for our bridegroom to come back to get us, to take us to our eternal home that He has prepared. That's what today is all about. Do you understand what has happened in your life? What would you say to the bride if she does not even realize that she is engaged and she does not even wait for the bridegroom? What would you say to that kind of bride? But is that not how you and I live our lives today? Do you understand what has happened to you? If you say you are a Christian, you understand that you are engaged to Christ and bridegroom Christ went to heaven to prepare a place for you, and your whole existence is about waiting for that husband to come and get you and take you to where he is. That's what your life is all about today. But you don't even realize you are engaged. And your life is not living in terms of waiting for that bridegroom to come and get you. Like I said, if you see a bride like that, what would you say to her? That she doesn't even know she's engaged. And she doesn't even wait for the bridegroom. So she, you know, meets other guys and whatever she does. What would you say to that kind of bride? But I want you to understand that that's exactly how you live and how I live. So many times you don't even realize you are engaged to Christ. You forget. And your life is not about waiting for that bridegroom to come and get you. You live as if you want to engage to others. When Jesus returns, He will take us to our eternal home. Then there will be the eternal wedding and the eternal heavenly banquet. Revelation 21 verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Brothers and sisters, we are the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this sense, as we are hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ, He is also hungry and thirsty for us. He longs to see us face to face. And we are to understand verses 16 and 18 in this sense. But all that Jesus has accomplished has two aspects, as we saw so many times. Already and not yet. So spiritually speaking, the heavenly reality has already been accomplished. Yes, it is not visibly consummated yet. So if we are speaking spiritually, then when Jesus says, I will not eat nor drink until the kingdom of God comes, we are able to understand that to mean until His resurrection. So already and not yet, both aspects are true. Thus, even though the visible consummation of heaven has not occurred, we are able to eat and drink with our Lord spiritually. And whenever we participate in the Lord's Supper, we witness that reality. So even though Jesus says that He will not eat and drink nor drink until the coming of the kingdom of God, we see Him eating and drinking with His disciples after the resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 35, when He had reclined at the table with them, this is after resurrection, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, He began giving it to them. Verse 35, they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Thus, participating in the marriage supper of the Lamb and the eternal Passover are our present spiritual heavenly reality, even though heaven is not visibly consummated. Psalm 23 verse 5 has been accomplished. It is our present spiritual reality. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, one more other thing. Very important thing. The Old Testament Passover, if we read Deuteronomy 16, verse 1 through 3, observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd, in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread and bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. So even as they were to eat that Passover, they are called to remember the day when they came out of the land of Egypt. Remembering the day. But it is no longer. If we carefully examine all the verses that we read today, then we could conclude the following. Verse 14. Jesus is the one who reclined at the table and the apostle with him. As we have seen last sermon, it was Jesus who prepares it. It is Jesus who invites us to it. And Jesus is the master of the banquet. And it is his banquet. And we are coming to the table of Jesus. And Jesus says, you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. No more remembering day that came out from the Egypt, but it is all about Jesus Christ now. We are to remember Jesus Christ and do this in remembrance of him. And it is not just about remembering Jesus Christ, but as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are actively participating in the heavenly fellowship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand, now Jesus is the focus. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we look backward and forward. We look backward, we are to proclaim his death on the cross. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But we also look forward to heaven. And by faith, we participate in the heavenly fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we long for that reality to be visibly consummated. Seeing Jesus face to face and sitting at his table, eating and drinking with him, having the never-ending sweet fellowship of heaven with Christ. Let me end with this. Jesus says, until the coming of the kingdom of God, This means that there will be a time that the kingdom of God will come visibly. Spiritually, it has already come. So you could take that as his promise that God's kingdom will be visibly consummated. Brothers and sisters, the death is not the end. There will be reunion in heaven. Once again, I will say that we will see our Lord face to face and live with him forever and ever. And we will have the never-ending sweet fellowship of heaven with him. But remember that this is also our already accomplished spiritual reality of heaven. Brothers and sisters, there are so many things we need to consider in this passage. So let us continue next time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for giving us yourself, your body and your blood, your life. And Father, we must feed upon you, Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only spiritual nourishment, spiritual food that you have provided for us. Let us feed upon him so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.